You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview. Alex Dunn here, joined by Andy Holding on the line to look ahead to the Punchestown card on Sunday. It is an absolute cracker. We've got the return of some real old favourites, some exciting types to look at, some short prices as well. But Andy will be the man who's looking through those short price horses, deciding, is it worth a bet, is it not? And good morning, Mr. Holding, who's fresh off the back of 2 days at Cheltenham.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Nothing more than a nice couple of days at the Open meeting at Cheltenham to get the juices flowing for the National Hunt season. And as if we haven't had enough scintillating performances and stars on parade, then we get a good chance to see the champion hurdler under the unbeaten Faheen today at Punchestown in amongst a star-studded array of talents. Not that many big fields, but we expect that this time of year, really. Mm. And, yeah, we've got some real mouth-watering prospects.
Yeah, I was just going to say, normally in Ireland around, normally at Punchestown, you'd expect at least one 20-runner maiden hurdle in there, but nothing today.
No, that's right, yeah. The one thing that's disappointed me, funnily enough, over in Ireland lately, I've talked about this a few times, is the maiden hurdles. They've been really, really weak, not only quality-wise, but numerically as well. I mean, that 245 basically sums up the standard that we've seen so far. 7 runners in a maiden hurdle. I mean, that's just unbelievable for a track of this nature. And no Willie Mullins horse either as well. So he's yet to unleash some of his better, younger horses coming through. He hasn't had a decent novice hurdler other than the ones he ran in the summer period. You know, your Backersons and Thomas Hobsons of this world. So, yeah, he's playing his cards a little bit later on in the year, I think.
Okay. Right, well, we'll start with the 12.35, which is a handicap hurdle over 2 miles. We've got 12 runners down to go to post here, Andy. And Rupert Lamb heads affairs at the time of recording, which is about 9:30 on Sunday morning. Has been nibbled at this morning as well, 100 to 30 from fours. But plenty of credible dangers in this race. Ordinary World comes here off the back of a win. You've got the likes of Henry Higgins and Wes Harding, who didn't complete last time, but would still have a chance if they are fully tuned up for this. And plenty of consistent types as well. Not a bad little race to open the card.
Yeah, very competitive race. You're right, Alex. Should be 4-5-2 on the field. Quite a few of these coming in good form. Several having their first run of the season, so we're not really sure where we stand with them. The likes of Ben Telemar and Harvey Logan, of course, were multiple winners last season between them, respectively. So all in all, yeah, a trappy one. But I'm a bit of a sucker for punishment, really, in many respects. I'm a bit of an old softy at heart, and I've grown a bit of an attachment and love affair with Patrick Mooney's horse, the 8-year-old mare Colapia, just because she gets called one or two names or has been in the past. And it's not for lack of trying, really. Sometimes she, I suppose you could argue that she has got a little bit of a glass chin in some respects, but she always runs a race. She must be a fantastic horse to own. She's always there or thereabouts. And our last 6 starts over hurdles, she's finished 2nd 3 times, and it was nice to see her win the other day. Not only did she won in such a fantastic fashion and a good time that Connections then decided to dip her into Grade 3 company last time out at Down Royal. Okay, that venture didn't pay off in the sense that she didn't win, but she did get the black type they were after. She chased home Listen Dear, and the time in the race was absolutely sensational. I do think that winner, Willie Mullins' Listen Dear, is a very, very good mare, and I think she'll be running in Grade 1 company by the time the year's out. So, considering that Colapia, who, you know, he was a 111 rated horse, chased her home, I think that was a really good return by this horse. And it was interesting that Patrick Mooney actually had her entered at Cheltenham in the boys' race on Friday, the race that a Hairbreadth won. But unfortunately, because the English handicapper takes aversion to Irish horses, he actually put her up to a mark of 122. So she would have been £11 worse off against her Irish horses. So it's probably a wise move to keep her on home soil. She gets a chance to run off her old mark of 111. Jack Kennedy takes 5 off. She's got plenty of form on soft to heavy ground on the flat throughout her career. So with fitness on her side and the way she travels, I can't see Colapier not running really well here, and ran about 8-1. She's the best bet on the card.
Okay, Colapier, confident pick then in the 12.35. The 105 is up next, and it is a novice chase. A Grade 2 contest over 2 miles. And Sizing John, we see here, Andy. Very short price this morning, 2-5 as we speak. And comes up against Lord Scoundrel, who's unbeaten over fences in 3 attempts so far. And My Hometown, who could be anything, really. We see plenty of these JP McManus horses that are unexposed, and some go the right way and some go the wrong way. You can probably rule out Ballyroe Rambler, who's 100-1 this morning. But of the three that remain, obviously Sizing John, the one to beat here, Andy. But will he land the prize that his short odds suggest?
Yeah, this is a difficult one for me. Not from a selecting perspective, I suppose, in the end, because I'd be probably mad not to go with Sizing John. But my two favourite novice chasers I've seen so far this season in Ireland, Lock Horns here. Sizing John is my Arkle horse for the season. I was asked probably a couple of months ago on William Hill Radio a few horses to follow, and I put up Sizing John as the horse that I think will find his way to the Arkle. Obviously, he's got Duvan perhaps to worry about, his old adversary. But Henry de Brom has got such a tremendous record with novice chases, your size in Europe's of this world, that anything that he sends over the larger obstacles that's got plenty physical scope for the larger obstacles has obviously got to be very much on anyone's shortlist. And he made a great start to his chasing career when he won here on debut, jumping really well in the main. And although he was pushed out towards the end and some weren't as impressed as perhaps, others, he still got the job done. I think actually as the career, as his season goes on, the faster they go, the bigger the field, and the better the race, the better he'll come into his own. But he's up against Lord Scoundrel today, and I've got a massive amount of affection for this horse. This is one of the best jumpers I've seen so far of a fence in Ireland for quite a while. He's so nimble over his. He gets in and out very, very quickly, and doesn't waste any time in the air. Very efficient, and similarly to Gordon Elliott's other horse. The Game Changer, he's turned his career around since he's gone over fences, so I wouldn't put it past him to give Sizing John a race here, but I think class will just about come through, and not only do I think Sizing John will win today, but I think he'll go unbeaten all the way through the season towards the Arkle.
Okay, Sizing John, a very confident pick. And you've got an anti-post bet thrown in there as well for the 105. The 140 is the Florida Pearl Novice Chaser Grade 2 contest over 2 miles and 6 furlongs. We've got 6 runners going to post for this one, Andy. And as we often see in races like this, Giggenstown have got a fairly strong hand. They've got half the runners, but not the market leader. That's Killer Miller. As we speak, JP McManus trains. JP McManus owns even. Noel Mead trains, and Mark Walsh gets the leg up. But I mean, we've mentioned 4 horses there. It'd be remiss not to mention right down the middle, and Shantou Flyer, who's been one of my favourite horses to watch so far this season, or at least over the summer. But plenty you could give chances to here, Andy. What do you fancy?
Well, I think this race will be a bit of an attritional affair. It should be anyway for the money on offer and the status of the race, and survival of the fittest. Kind of like at the back of my mind, then I would probably go with Shantou Fly here, who I think is definitely the strongest stayer in amongst this field. He proved that last time out when he won a very good novice's chase at Cheltenham, not only visually but on the figures as well. He actually showed good tenacity that day to pick himself off the floor after a bad mistake at the second last, but he powered on up the hill to beat Weatherbabe, and of course yesterday's shock winner at Cheltenham, Vincente, just to prove how good this form is, and he's got plenty of form on soft or heavy ground in the past. I think he's very much one for the 4-miler as well at the Cheltenham Festival, because I don't think he's quite quick enough to win the Sun Alliance, the RSA, certainly class-wise anyway. But I would imagine Benny's already been round Cheltenham. Colin Bowe will have half an eye on that 4-miler. And if you're looking for an anti-post bet, definitely this horse, having gone round Cheltenham already, is one to bear in mind. And I just think he'll keep plying his trade to a really good level all the way through the season. Killer Miller obviously was very impressive the last day down in Nace, jumping really well and quickening up smartly. Bit of a tough decision to make for Noel Mead to bring him out quickly or not, but he's decided to bite the bullet. And of course, the Giggenstown operation are represented by 3 useful horses. And it's not as if right down the middle is a total dummy either, because he lowered the colours of Rock the World 3 starts ago on heavy ground. So this is a real testing one for punters. But as I said, I think if push comes to shove, which one's going to get home in the latter stages most, I'd probably go with Shantou Flyer again.
Okay, Shantou Flyer the pick in the 140. The 215 is the Morgana Hurdle, a Grade 1 contest over 2 miles, a race that's been dominated by Willie Mullins in recent years, and most notably Hurricane Fly, of course. No fly this time around, though, but a fairly competent individual has stepped into his shoes in the form of Faheen for Willie Mullins and Ruby Walsh. Obviously, an absolute machine, as his name suggests, Andy. But is there anything that can trouble him here, bearing in mind that Willie Mullins has the first three in the market?
Likelihood is that the answer will be no to that. And at 5-1, you'd certainly expect him to win quite comfortably here. He could have done without soft, heavy ground on his seasonal reappearance. I don't think any horse, doesn't matter how good they are, would want those kind of conditions. But he has won under... this kind of ground before. He's 4-4 at the track as well. He loves punches down, and that was when we saw him last, winning the champion hurdle, beating Arctic Fire and Del Arca very comfortably. On top of that, of course, he won the champion hurdle in very impressive style, making all the running in the hands of Ruby Walsh. And he's just done nothing wrong in it throughout his career. He's a total professional. He's got a great cruising speed. He jumps really well. His jumping action, I think, has got better over the last season or so. And even though he is facing a decent standard of opponent in the Grade 1 winning stable companion Nichols Canyon, you'd expect him to probably come through here with flying colours, with maybe his stable companion following home. If there is going to be a bit of a shock perhaps for the second place here, then he might look towards Identity Thief, basically on the basis that this horse has already had a run. That run, of course, came when he beat Whiteout, who won here yesterday at Punchestown, so that form looks good. And because he's got form on soft ground, like I say, has a bit of a fitness advantage, maybe, just maybe, he could cause a shock and maybe chase the favourite home. But it's all about Faheen. He should maintain his unbeaten record, and it'll be interesting to see how his season develops.
Race number 5 on the card is a maiden hurdle over 2 miles and 6 furlongs. Not the strongest maiden hurdle that you'll ever see at Punchestown, as we mentioned earlier, Andy. We've only got the 7 runners going to post, and there isn't really any standout form. I suppose Blessed King for Gordon Elliott, who comes off the back of 2 second-place efforts, would have a squeak. But it really is a case of any horse that's shown any modicum of ability would have claims here.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me here if one of the most unexposed horses wins this race, either Rolling on the River or Connell, because the other two... are little looking, in particular Blessed King, have looked fairly vulnerable, albeit they've shown consistent form in their races over hurdles and bumpers respectively. Blessed King, he makes his hurdling debut here off the back of 2 placed efforts at Kilbeggan and Perth, but the fact that Gordon Elliott run him in the summer jumping period and he went for good ground suggests to me that that's exactly what he wants. So you'd have to be concerned today here with the conditions. So I think the winner will go to, like I say, one of the other two, Rolling on the River or Connell. Interesting that Connell has been nibbled out in the market already, obviously anticipating a good run, and that has been backed up by the fact that Ruby Walsh has been booked to ride this horse, who hasn't been seen out for 610 days when he won a point-to-point. But obviously he stays well in the ground, shouldn't be a concern for him. But I quite like Rolling on the River. He was well-fancied last year on his only start. I was actually there that day when he finished third behind Alan King's very, very smart horse, Yanworth, in a decent bumper. But that was on soft ground, so conditions should be absolutely fine for him. And he's probably just needed a bit of time. It's interesting the mouse has kept him off the track subsequently. He just looked a bit slow and a bit backward that day, and he's obviously got to be better than that. The fact that he was all the rage that day, actually. He was a real strong one in the market. So it's a little bit of a punt I'm taking here. Obviously, I don't know his well-being or his fitness levels, but he looked okay to me last year, Rolling on the River. Hopefully he'll start making up for lost time.
Okay, Rolling on the River, the pick in the 2:45. The 3:20 is the penultimate race on the card, and it's a handicap hurdle over 2 miles and 6 furlongs. A really competitive race this, Andy, as well. Steel Wave heads affairs at the time of recording, but plenty of dangers once again. We've got 2 JP horses in there that you'd have to be wary of both of them. Blow the Doors Off returning from a layoff. Shoot Hall off the back of a decent enough effort last time out. But there's plenty of other consistent types in here that you could give claims to. And it's, again, from a betting point of view, probably one of the better races on the card.
Yeah, similar to the first race, I think there is a bit of value in this race. The couple that stand out to me at the prices anyway this morning, given the prevailing conditions, are Paul Nolan's Jupiter and the locally trained Tipped Up Harry as well. Both of these two adore Punchestown. You look at their career figures. Jupiter will deal with him first. 5 runs, 1 win, 2 placed, and many good runs in between. And Tipped Up Harry, he's got similar credentials. 4 runs, 1 win, and 2 placed as well. Both of them like the ground. And in particular, I think Jupiter could be quite well handicapped here. It's a wise move, maybe, by Paul Nolan to run him over hurdles first time up. But he's got a good He's certainly got a good chance at the weight here. He's only rated 111 over hurdles compared to his chase mark of 123. And we know that, he stays really well. He's actually more in keeping with running over three and a half miles. But he does keep going, and wouldn't surprise me if there's a little bit of money for him. And Tip Top Harry certainly, I think, will outrun his form figures currently. He's largely been running on fastest ground and hasn't been really himself since he's been away from his local track. But bring him back here to Punchestown, and I think we'll see a totally different horse. He made a bad mistake early on last time out at Fairy House, which rather knocked his nose out of joint. Given some similar conditions to what he's previously been victorious in the past, I do think Tip Top Harry will certainly run quite well here at a price. So two against the field here. A little bit of fun to be had with the 8-1 Jupiter and the more enterprisingly priced up Tip Top Harry.
Okay, then. The final race on the card is a bumper over 2 miles. Some really respected connections with runners here, Andy. We've got Coeur Joyeux, trained by Sandra Hughes, owned by JP McManus. We've got Babbling Stream for Willie Mullins, who of course does so well in these races. That one's been nibbled at this morning as well. King's Lion for the Gingstown operation. We've got a Noel Mead newcomer, a Jessica Harrington horse that's shown a little bit of form. It could be one of those bumpers where there's plenty of winners come out of it, but what do you think is going to win this afternoon?
I haven't really got a clue, if I'm being honest, Alex. It's not a race I've got a particularly strong view in. Joyeux sets a standard, which is certainly not an insurmountable one here. He was second behind Time Means Everything at the Punchestown Festival. And, that run should be good enough to see him there or thereabouts. Interesting that JP McManus has acquired him since that particular run, so he has obviously seen something in him that he quite likes. You've got Babbling Stream, who arguably was a little bit disappointing. Well, more than arguably, it was disappointing at Cork the other day. Whether it was a combination of the horse needing the run or fastest ground, I don't really know. But he couldn't justify his 4-11 position in the market. But he did win on soft ground first time up at Limerick, so maybe it was the ground for him. We've got some interesting unraced fodder in this race. We've got King's Lion making his debut under rules for Gordon Elliott from the Giggingstown operation. And we've got Cherokee Bill as well. Now, this is a tried-and-trusted combination, this, isn't it? Noel Mead and Nina Carberry. When Nina rides for Noel, they're never normally a million miles away. So that one would probably make the most appeal of the ones that I've talked about at the prices. So around about 6-1 this morning. We'll take a chance on the in-race Cherokee Bill, but as I said, not a race I've got a strong opinion on.
Okay, Cherokee Bill, the pick in the Lucky Last. Great stuff, Andy. It promises to be a superb day of action over at Punchestown this afternoon. Best luck with all your bets. Keep an eye out for any pointers that you can let us know about later, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks, buddy.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.